And I think that's extremely good counsel. It is, the Word of God is our teacher. It isn't me. As a teacher, all I do is open up the Word of God. And as your eyes and my eyes are able to see Christ, He works in us what we need. Oh, as me and you come to understand these things. And that's what this text will say. It's understanding. It's by knowledge. That's how we grow in grace. That's how we make our calling and election sure. And so let's start at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, Simon Peter. I think all of us know who Simon Peter is. But he calls himself a slave. Now, in your version, it may say servant, but the actual word in the Greek is the same as a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, there are no more apostles. An apostle had to see our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, he says that he was the last of the apostles and he was the last person to see our Lord Jesus Christ alive from the dead. So you remember as to how Paul was on the road and the Lord Jesus appeared unto him and he revealed himself unto Paul alone, even though it was a lot of other people with Paul. That's sovereign election. It is when God, He chooses you to hear and to believe the gospel, and you and me might be in a horrible circumstance, but He uses that circumstance of our sin or of our failure or of other people persecuting us to actually draw our heart unto Him in the gospel. But when Peter says that he is an apostle, he and Paul and them are the last and only apostles with that supernatural miracle working power. But me and you are slaves of Christ if we believe His gospel. And that's what it means to believe, is to become indebted to. The Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor. That the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, His love, it compels us to go out and to serve other people with the gospel. I'm not trying to pay God back, but He's been so good to me, I owe Him love and I owe Him good works, which are done in the service of my brethren and in stretching out His gospel so that other poor sinners might believe. It's a slave. It is a person who calls Christ Lord. Now there is some controversy of if He's Lord or if He's Savior, or if I can be saved and then He can become my Lord a little bit later, but no. It is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so there is no salvation without this submission to the Lordship of Christ. And we bow unto His Lordship because of His goodness. Like, I see Him in the Scriptures as holy, as just, as sovereign, in control of all things. And I see our Lord Jesus Christ as the judge whom God has resurrected from the dead. But to see him merely as my judge or as my master, that's not saving faith. Saving faith is to see that he's my loving judge. That even though he will judge us at the end of time, he has already paid our sin and cleared our sin debt. It's to see him as a loving master. That even though he commands me and you what to do, and he has authority over us, it is the goodness of God, and it is what the Bible teaches from the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It's a reign of grace. And so that God is always giving us more grace to be obedient unto his command. But this submission unto his lordship is real. You and I have no other master that's like our Lord. His mastery is absolute. It's total. Brother John Owen said that you look at yourself in secret, in private, and there isn't anybody else to see you or to judge you. And he said, that's who you really are. And so this lordship, this submission unto Christ is absolute. And it comes as a gift of God's grace. That when he gives us faith and he opens our eyes, he causes us to see, he and you, that Christ is worthy to be served. He is worthy to save us. He's worthy of being resurrected from the dead and made Lord over all creation because he obeyed God perfectly. He is God in the flesh, and he did all that God the Father gave him to do in the salvation of his people and to be saved by him from the wrath of God. That's what makes us call him Lord very willingly, very, very gladly. It's like the only way into the kingdom is to bow unto his authority as Lord. But once we bow, and that is faith, to receive him as Lord, to put our trust in him, he saves us. He forgives us. And he cleanses us. He really does give us power over our sin. And that's one of the sweetest things in the gospel, is to know that I'm a sinner by nature and by practice, even by birth. King David said, I was conceived in iniquity. So as soon as the egg and the sperm met, it produced a sinner. And so I was born this way, and I have a sin nature that I can't control. I can't get myself rid of. I can't overcome. But when he comes in and he saves me and he makes himself Lord, and that's what faith is. He breaks the power of sin. Is the sin that he already paid for at the cross. He breaks its power to control you. And that is submission unto the lordship, unto the rule of Jesus Christ. This authority of grace, this reign of grace, this good God who tells you and I what to do, and who gives us consequences if we don't do it, because he loves us. Now, these right here are people in Christ. That's what he says. He is writing unto those, that's me and you, who have obtained, and that is from God. It's a gift that came unto God, a like precious faith, or a faith that is equal with ours. That's what Peter's saying. our faith, me and you, is the same faith of the Virgin Mary. It's the same faith of Peter and Paul. It's the same faith of Abraham and Moses and of Sarah. It is the gift of God to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to grab hold of our hearts by the gospel, to show us the truth of it. Our faith is because God has opened our eyes that things which cannot be seen are true. And I'm thinking about two illustrations. One is the flood of Noah. He, being warned by God, prepared an ark, right? He knew what other people did not know because he heard from God and he believed, and so he saw things that other people couldn't see by faith. And then when I was out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this was last week, and out there on the street preaching, it really troubled me that so many people don't know the goodness of God or the judgment. And I don't know which one is more sad, to be living in this world anti-God because I don't know his love, his compassion, his kindness, his goodness, his joy, his privilege of his fellowship. The highest privilege a human has is not money or health. It's God. And to have him in the soul by faith with power of the Holy Ghost to subdue my sin, to cleanse my conscience of sin, and to make me enjoy God is the highest life that any human can live. If you're rich or poor, you don't have to have money to serve God and to love God and to be filled with the joy of the gospel. It's not based upon our circumstance. But the other thing that these poor souls don't know is that they're sinners. They're under the wrath of God. And he's coming, and if he comes now, he will cast them into hell for all of eternity. But he's opened our eyes. That's why it's called like precious faith. It is exceedingly precious because it saves our soul, and it's the gift of God. It did not come from us. It came from heaven. That's how me and you were born of God. It was his doing. 100%. And it's like precious faith because every believer is equally saved. How do you believe that? I'm a missionary and I work for Christ. Do you believe that your faith is not the same a degree of faith, perhaps, but it's the same quality? If it's gold, it's gold. If it's faith, it's faith. And it's the same faith of all of the elect. All believers have the same faith because we're equally loved by God, equally forgiven, equally blessed, because our blessing is Jesus Christ. And I may know more about Christ now than I did 15 years ago, but I have the same Christ now as I had then, and I would be going into the same heaven. Have you heard that if you work hard, that you're going to have a higher place in heaven than somebody else? Is that true? No. Every believer is at the right hand of God in Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians 1. Let's just open here quickly. And I'm not going to turn to a lot of other scriptures. I just want to deal in 2 Peter. But Ephesians 1 has this. Verse number 20, he demonstrated this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and dominion and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And so our Lord Jesus right now is at the right hand of God, being exalted from the dead at the highest place that there will ever be. And there will never be anything in 100 trillion years that's higher than Jesus Christ. But then in chapter 2, it says this, verse number 4 and 6, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us, that is every single believer, alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you're saved by grace. And here's grace, that he made us sit together. He has raised us up to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, or with Christ. What he's saying is that as high as Christ is, every believer is. Our access unto God is in ourselves. It's Christ. And so every believer has equal access unto God, the full and free pardon of our sin, and all of the exceedingly great promises in Christ. Once you get in Christ by faith, you have it all. And I have it all. And that's what he wants us to remember as he's encouraging us to grow in grace and in our character. He wants us to be holy, increasingly. But the only way to do it is through the knowledge of God, everything I have in Christ Jesus. Because all of salvation from beginning unto the finish line, it's by grace, isn't it? It's the gift of God. It's not the work of man. I put forth effort, but I'm saved by grace. So even the striving is a gift that is from God. So let's go back into 2 Peter chapter 1. This like precious faith, he says again here in verse number 1, it's in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What does it mean that our faith is in the righteousness of our God and Savior? What does that mean? Our faith is in the righteousness of God. First, what is the righteousness of God? That's in the gospel. He's not talking about the holy law that condemns us, that convicts us of our sin. That's the righteousness of God to punish a sinner. But he's talking about the righteousness of God to save our souls. What is this righteousness that our faith is in? Is it our righteousness? No. It is the righteousness of Christ and his finished work that makes God able to be holy and to still touch us with his mercy. If you go to court and you committed a crime, it's on tape, there's all kinds of the witnesses, all of the evidence is there. if the judge says, well, since you're my cousin and I really like your smile, I'm going to let you go free. What would happen unto that judge? He loses his job now. That would be unjust. But when God saves us and forgives us of our sin, he has a right to say, you can go free. You don't have to pay for your sin. Because my son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has stood in your place. He has taken your punishment. And that's what happened at the cross. The sins of those who trust in Christ were placed upon Jesus Christ. And then God punished him. It was God who put his son to death in his soul when he was made an offering for sin. It was God in his plan A from all eternity. It was to have Christ as the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was God putting away our sin by punishing Jesus Christ that makes him able as a righteous judge to slam his gavel and say, whoever he leaves on him, our Lord Jesus, has what? Eternal life.
Eternal life.
Are you understanding me? It is the righteousness of God, his right, to save you, because he paid for our sin in the body of his own son, so he can forgive us freely. He can bless us with heaven. And you know what, my sisters? That is the righteousness that me and you stand in 24 hours a day, 7 days each week, until we leave this planet, all the way into eternity. It will be said by God, these people have been paid for by the blood of Christ, and there's no accusation against them. I'm able to give them all of my love and kindness, all of my joy in heaven, because Christ died in their place. Let me ask you a question. What are you trusting for your relationship with God? I think about myself and my sin. And as I grow in grace and as I mature and in God's mercy, I'm learning that even though I sin, I still have access unto God. Even though I may feel unworthy, the blood of Jesus Christ is still greater than all of our sin. And so I'm able to repent quickly. Instead of staying away because I'm unworthy, I'm able to come back unto God through faith in Jesus Christ. And my surprise, my sisters, is the welcome with which he receives me. And so I actually know the difference between trusting in myself, and if I fail, I just feel miserable and I can't approach God, and you know, I'm just out in the outskirts. That's how I felt for many years as a Christian. But now I'm learning, even though I may have sinned horribly, I can go back unto God my Father and get help in my time of need. Is that the kind of God that you are dealing with? You're totally forgiven, even though you're sinful. You are totally righteous in the sight of God. Even though, like Job, you hate yourself and repent in dust and ashes. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man I am. That's what Peter said. Depart from me, I'm an evil man. That's what Brother Job said. I'm vile. But all of these men, Isaiah, all of these men had excess, and they had faith, and they had joy and peace come into their soul simply by trusting in Jesus Christ and acknowledging, I really am righteous. I really am forgiven. I really have access unto God. I really have a reason to believe that He will help me in the power of His Spirit to overcome my sin. You and I are not on our own if we're in Christ Jesus. We are reconciled by God. His righteousness has prevailed. His blood has put away our sin. He has proven Himself worthy to enter into a lasting relationship with us. That's the gospel, is it not? He's worthy to dwell with us. And me and you, we take hold of it by faith. And we say, I am. By faith in Christ, I am. And then on the next thing it says here is that this one in whom we trust is the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior. Our God and Savior. Is he talking about the same person? Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Our God and our Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? Well, he is God in the flesh. It's the Father, it's the Son, the Holy Spirit are all one God in these three distinct persons, these three manifestations of themselves. But Jesus Christ is equal with his Father from all eternity in every way. But one day, he became a man through the womb of the Virgin. He was born, and he became human and God. It's a great mystery. But he, who always experienced pleasure, became a little baby to cry and to be told what to do and to be persecuted and to be hated and to die on a cruel cross for two major reasons. One is to bring glory unto his Father. He left heaven because his Father, his equal, is so worthy of being glorified, of being obeyed, and being made known in his greatness. And then he also did this for me and you who believe. He loved us, my sisters, with an everlasting love. He put us in the book of life, and he staked his whole glory on our salvation. If even one person who trusts in Christ is not in heaven's bliss, he has failed as God. His whole glory is in our salvation. He connected us with his love in a way that can never be broken. Never be broken. And his wrath is going to be on his foes who reject so great a gospel. But our faith is in the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that person, and that's who we look to all of the time, because in him, in Christ, it dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And he that hath the Son has the Father also. Verse number 2, may grace and peace, these are gifts of God that are in the gospel, be multiplied to you. Let me ask you a question. Can God give you more grace and peace in the midst of hard times like the COVID?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
can he do it if you're struggling with sin?
Yes.
He has to.
Yes.
Well, there is no other hope. His grace and peace, it is multiplied not through our being worthy of it, not through us being in the easiest of all circumstances. I'm in Nigeria. It is not an easy country. The other sister, Precious, I can let you know. It's no joke there now. There is no welfare system. There are many 8-year-old kids who work all day, every day, in the hot sun for a couple dollars. It is not an easy life at all. But did you know that being in Nigeria, ministering the gospel as I know that God would have me do, has been perhaps the happiest days of my life? Even while persecuted, even while slandered, even while I was homeless there, very, very briefly I was homeless, hardships. But to have the peace of God and Jesus Christ multiplied unto our soul, and this is how it is. It is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's through knowing the inheritance you have in Christ. And if you want to read your inheritance, the book of Ephesians is an excellent spot. Chapter number 1, verse number 3 through verse number 14. But the whole book, it talks about the riches of the inheritance. Is it money? Is the inheritance money?
No.
Not at all. The rich people in this world are primarily unbelievers, right? It could be Bill Gates. It could be Jeff Bezos. It could be whomever. That's the nature of man, is to pursue things which perish, that don't bring the true peace of God inside the soul. But Paul had peace in prison with Silas as they sang God's praise. And me and you have this peace multiplied into our soul and experience more grace. I'm more confident in grace. I understand grace. I walk in grace through the knowledge of God, that he is good to us even though we fail, that he accomplished our salvation even though it doesn't always feel like it, that he reconciled himself unto us, that he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that if God is on our side, who can be against us, that all things are working together for our good. All of these precious promises put hope in our soul as we get to know God. And as I know my Savior, that's how I know I'm saved. I'm an illustration. If you were like a small child and you're always getting picked on and you're very, very scared, but your big brother came and he's older and he's big and strong, and when you walk with him, everybody else has to keep their distance. Now, as you realize, my big brother is my safety. He takes care of me. People are scared of him. It makes you more confident in who you are. That's my brother. Well, that's our God. That's our Savior. That's who paid our sin debt. That's who makes us holy. That's who will bring us into heaven. And that was something I was communicating the last time I was on with you guys, is that the more I see my sin, instead of being discouraged, I reject myself and I trust in Jesus Christ. And the more I see that my only hope is Christ, the more I'm certain I will be saved. I will persevere. I will overcome this flesh. Because the scripture says that those who know their God shall do exploits. Understand? How big he is. How much he loves us. How faithful. How forgiving. How patient. How just. If anything happens hard in our life, it's because the God who saved our soul and put away our sin has commanded it. And so he's in charge of our pain. That makes us able to endure it so much better. All hardship, all loss, all no's we have to hear, God is in charge of all of that. And he loves us. He gave himself for us. He acts in perfect wisdom. And if he needed a yes instead of a no, he would turn that person's mouth and make them say yes unto whatever we needed. Isn't that the truth? That's in the knowledge of God. Verse number 3, please. And Miss Pat, if you have to let me know on the time frame.
That's okay. What,
mm-hmm. But verse number 3 says this, that his divine power, that is the power of God, has, this is so important and so comforting, has given us everything required, each and everything for life and godliness. Now, do you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does it mean?
Everything we need, the Lord has provided. Everything.
And it's already yours.
That's right. He accomplished it all. The work was finished. Everything that needed to be done. He said, on the cross, it is finished.
And so, let me ask you a question. If he finished it,
uh-huh.
If he accomplished it, do I need to earn it?
No.
It's already been given to you.
Yes.
But it's through knowledge of your inheritance that you get to experience it. So let's say that your father is a king. He's extra rich. But you've been taken captive as a small baby, and you've been raised in rebellion against this king, and you hate this king. Well, he comes and he just starts to kill people, but he spares you. And then he brings you in and says, hey, this is my son. And he begins to teach you all of the kingdom is yours. And so he sees you one day, you're outside in the street, it's early in the morning, and you're in the gutter, and you look cold, and you look hungry, and you look dirty. And he asks you, what are you doing out here? You are the king's son. And then you open your eyes and see, aha, I don't have to be in the street. I have a palace. Well, that's our walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you are constantly realizing how great is our salvation. How much hope is in eternal life. How much power is in the forgiveness of sin. How sweet is the Holy Spirit. How is God able to give me and you the strength to live the Christian life? And I ask you, and to keep drawing from him like a bank account, and you just keep putting in that ATM. If you had $100 million in the bank, $100 million, and you were hungry, but you didn't have any money on you, would you go to the bank, take your ATM, and withdraw more money, or would you say, man, I need to get a job as a slave. I'm gonna need to go beg on the street corner. I just have to starve. I have to go steal something. No, if you would take your card and plug it in that bank account, even though you may have been there each day this week and 15 times a day, that's how we walk with God. You keep going back to your riches and inheritance in Christ. You keep going back to who He is in His goodness and grace to live this Christian life all of the time. There should never be a moment that me and you are drawing on our own resources. It should never be a moment I look at myself for anything. I should always be looking unto God in prayer and faith and say, Lord, you provide me with the strength I need to be holy. You help me overcome this lack of joy and peace. You give me strength to obey your will. Everything comes from God through Jesus Christ. And if we live like that, He'll supply our need. Paul said, as to when I'm weak, I'm strong. And the Lord Jesus said that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so keep withdrawing from the bank account of the finished work of Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And every time you see a command of Scripture or a warning of Scripture, you take that unto the throne of God and get even more grace in order to obey. Don't put anything on yourself. As the Lord Jesus said, take my yoke. It's the gospel. It's His word. It's His truth. And you learn of me, and you will find rest. Come unto me, He says, all you that are so tired and so beat down and so overcome with burdens and so struggling with sin, and you will find rest in your soul. But that comes through the gospel and through believing all I have in Christ, which is everything. There's not one thing that me and you are lacking right now. I just need to obtain it by faith. I need to see His mind and trust God to give it. All power, all strength, all that is needed is the gift of God unto the believer in Christ. His divine power has given us everything required for life, that's to live this Christian life in godliness, right? The exact way that we are told by God. How? Through the knowledge of Him, our Lord Jesus Christ and His Father, who called us. How did He call us? By His own glory and goodness. What does that mean? He called us by His own glory and virtue or goodness. I can't hear you, Sister Tasha.
Oh, I will say God is good, and I thank you for breaking the curse.
Amen. And that's exactly what that text is saying. He looked at Himself, and it was out of His own goodness. I didn't have any worthiness. I was no different than any other sinner that will spend eternity in hell. Me and you were even as others, right? But His own goodness is why He chose you. His own goodness is why he called you unto himself, is why he stopped you on your road unto hell, and he embraced us by the gospel. He did not look at us, he looked at himself, right? Well,
I don't know when the clock is going to stop. I don't know what time is going to shut us down.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have until 4:15, and we get 1 hour total before
okay.
it shuts down.
That's fine.
We start at 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know for sure whether.
What time is it now?
I think it says 1 hour.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
I don't know.
What time is it now?
It's 4:12.
Okay, sisters. If we get cut off, I love you and thank you much. But let's just hit this point. It's by these he has given us very great and precious promises. I think that we have talked about those. So that through them, these promises, you may share in the divine nature, this brand new nature that's inside of you, escaping the corruption that's in the world because of evil lust. Me and you have escaped the power and the bondage of sin through the knowledge of the promises of God. He's put inside of us a holy nature. And this nature, it grows, it gets stronger through the knowledge of all that God has promised for our growth and for our salvation. You and I become more godly in our character, the more that you and I know he's promised us godly character. That this is his will, and he will do it. And it's not based upon us at all. And so whether I see my sin, or whether I see a command I have not been obeying and I need to change, there is no condemnation in Christ. That's a promise. That's a guarantee by God. And there's help for everyone that's been made righteous by faith. Everyone that believes on him has the help of God to be transformed. And it is really knowing I'm helped. It is really knowing his love. It is really knowing his power is in himself. It's because of himself. It comes to us through Christ. It is absolutely free. It makes us godly. It's already been promised. There are so many people who hear about being holy, and they don't trust God to produce it. And so they try to do it themselves, and it will be made known at the day of judgment that they were not that it was not anything which pleased God. It was all of self. But there are other people who hear the holiness of the new life. And they think, I can't do that. And so what they do is they shrink what God says, and they twist the scripture, and they make it say what it doesn't say, and they reject the whole counsel of God because they refused to believe that he will give us what we need to bring him glory. And that, my sisters, is something I'm really dealing with. How when I see things I need, it could be to preach better, it could be to think better, it could be to treat people better. As I see these things, now I'm beginning to think, okay, God, you take care of this for me. Is that your thinking on the things of God? If it is, then your hope is sure. He will be faithful, sister. He will never break promise. If he can part the Red Sea, and if he can raise his son from the dead, he can make me and you become more loving people. He can change us. He can make us holy. He can make us godly. He can make us to do good works. And that is our confidence. Verse number 5, for this very reason, since you have all these things in Christ, all of the help of God, and you've already been made righteous by faith, make every effort to add unto your faith with goodness, and to goodness add knowledge. He's saying, try hard. Try very hard. I was looking at my sin this past week and discouraged. But I went unto God and I said this, Lord, I want to fear you. Help me to fear you. Help me to obey you. Help me to get over this sin and overcome my unrighteousness for your glory and for the good of your people. Now, if we are trying to be holy in order to add unto Christ, he won't bless us. He hates that. It's a rejection of his son. But if he and you are adding to our faith, that's me and you saying, I am saved by faith. I have everything by faith. Now I want to live like a person who has faith. Bring the fruit of faith out of my soul. Change me. Make me correct. Add to your faith. In the old King James, it may say virtue. It's the word means it's for moral excellence. That is the first step. You hear the gospel and you start to hang out with the people of God. You start to read your scriptures. You start to change the things that you listen to and that you look at. Add unto this goodness knowledge. What good is faith if it doesn't produce goodness? What is the use in having goodness if it's not according unto knowledge? And this knowledge, it is more knowledge of God's will in Christ. It is more knowledge of how I'm to live for other people. If you want to be happy, there's only one way. To live that other people know God because he's had mercy on you. And we've got to do that by his strength. If we do that, it's the will of God, is to bring others under Christ. Trusting in the righteousness of God, the obedience of Christ on our behalf. And trusting in the power of the Spirit of God, his peace, his joy, his comfort, his power, and then good works will be manifested in our life. Add to knowledge, self-control. You can't control yourself until you know that God is able to control you, and this is his will. He subdues our lusts. It isn't you. It isn't me. It could be drunkenness. It could be fornication. It could be outburst of wrath. It could be envy. All of these things, I need to control myself. And the only way I can control me is realize I cannot control me, but I look unto you. And to keep my eyes upon Jesus Christ, because I don't want to sin against him, because he's given us this divine nature, and he rebukes us for our sin as a loving father. And then add unto self-control endurance. If I have self-control, but it doesn't last, it's just a fly in the ointment. But when my self-control, it keeps going and keeps going, that's endurance. And then add to endurance godliness. That's how to live under God's rules. Our life is to be ordered by the word of God. We don't want to be people that live according unto our own rules. You and I want to be ruled by the word of God. And we get this power from actually knowing God and believing that he will give it. And then add unto godliness, brotherly kindness. That is a special love that's in between his children. I don't know if you have a lot of, brothers and sisters. I have some good friends that act as my brothers. But to have brotherly kindness is a special affection as for God's people. Because we have the same mind, we have the same Father, and our mission is to forgive each other and to give each other help. We are a special people united together as the Church of Christ. But then add unto this brotherly kindness, pure love. If I only love the saints, if I only love people who know God, then my love is not proper. I need a love that's for my enemies. And that is for my persecutors. He and you need love for the lost. And so he's saying, add all these things on top of your faith and make every effort. This is our last verse, verse number 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, if you're growing in grace, in knowledge, in faith, in love, they will keep you from being slothful or idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what some people are, is they're all talk. Some people are true believers, but they're oppressed by this world and its cares, and the word is being choked out, and it's not receiving its full fruitfulness. It's not bearing the joy, the peace, and the righteous conduct it's supposed to be bearing. They are not trusting Christ. They're not meditating on the Son of God. They hear the gospel, they say it's great, and then they head out and they walk by flesh instead of by faith. Pat, part of our work and of our warfare is to remember this gospel. It's to apply it. It is to use this gospel as a means of grace to get inside of our soul what we need. And there are so many Christians I know who don't enjoy the riches of our inheritance in Jesus Christ, because we've forgotten the will of God, which is our sanctification. And he and you forget to approach God by faith in Christ through the knowledge of him. And we don't take our own growth very seriously. Like with this year, with the election and with COVID, I know, Pat, so many Christians who have spent all year pointing their finger at other people instead of growing in grace themselves. I've seen Christians this year become harder, and they have strayed away from the gospel instead of becoming more tender, more sweet, and more into the preaching of Christ. And he's saying, grow and make every effort. If you see your sin, take that back unto God. Don't just say, well, I'm forgiven, but there is no repentance. No, in order to grow, I need to come back unto him and get these promises that subdue and that forgive my sin. You hear me?
Yeah.
Grow. But it's to grow in grace. It's to grow in the knowledge of God and all that you have in Jesus Christ, and to be his servant, his slave, from a willing heart by the power of his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to pray us out? The other girls are gone, I believe.
Thank you, sister.
But we went on to 4:30, so evidently okay. They dropped off.
Sure.
You want to close? Can you close us out? We got a minute, I believe.
Sure. Our Father, we thank you so much for Pat and for his ladies that you gathered us, that you gave us your word. Your Holy Spirit is active and powerful, able to take these things into the heart. We pray that you would do so, that you would have the glory, that you would bring forth the fruit that pleases you, that you would give us the honor of serving you and of being your students in the gospel. It's only a short time on earth that we labor as slaves, but the time is coming when our full sonship, it will be revealed, and we'll never sweat again. There'll be no more thorns, and there won't be any more sin to disturb us. We await that day, and we pray, Father, that you would spread the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. You paid the price. You finished all the work, and we ask you to give it unto your people. Give us clarity in this message and make us to never forget that we are to grow in grace by your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Brother, please come back.
In a couple weeks. Yes. Yes.
Again, a blessing. I know I won't be able to rest meditating on this.
Amen, sister.
Well, thank you so much. I don't know if anybody else had any comments.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It gave me more strength to know that Christ is inside of me and out of me. He won't ever leave me. He's taking his promise. He promises to Christ. I'm
going
to go to heaven.
Amen.
I
understand a word,
understand
faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll arrange
right.
The next time.
Okay, sister. Okay. Thank you all.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you too. Bye.